Good morning.
Good morning.
So some of you will be very happy to know that today is the last sermon in our sermon series, more or less. Usually when I do sermon series, I like to do around 4 weeks, but this was almost 2 months, so I know. It's a little bit longer than usual. Well, and so we are going to talk about church today. Now, one of the things we talked about throughout the sermon series and our book study and other small groups are doing their book study on this same book is the idea and the fact that how blessed we are. Some of us got more than we wanted. Some of us got more resources. Some of us got more time. Some of us got more peace. Some of us got more comfort and presence. And whatever we have, God asks us to share with other people. Amen? Because there are people, they have more resources, but maybe they don't have enough time to pray. And maybe some of us can actually spend more time in prayer, and we can send those prayers to those individuals. Some of us have an everlasting peace which God gives us, and in any circumstances, we could be at peace. And there are other individuals, they are struggling in regard to peace, and maybe that is our resource which we can give it to other people. Amen? Some of us, our presence everywhere we go, we make things beautiful. Our presence brings joy and comfort to people. And maybe we don't have a lot of money. Maybe we don't have a lot of time. But our presence might bring joy and comfort to people. And that might be a resource. That might be something we can pass on to other people. So what we learned from this particular sermon series that we all have something that we can share with somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
And I personally believe that church is a gift of God. And if you're in the church, if you're in the church family, you are one of the most blessed individuals. Amen? Can I get amen?
Amen.
Because that is our resource, dear people of God. And I believe that resource, that church, the presence of God has to go to other parts of the world. And then actually that's what the scripture we are going to read, that as Jesus ascended to heaven, he asked his disciples that go and preach gospel to all nations around the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. Because, dear people of God, I have to tell you this morning, that I think the church is the best gift God has given to human being. Amen?
Amen?
See, there are three things I love in this world. Number one, I love God. I'm crazy about God. I love Jesus. I love Holy Spirit. And every time when I'm in God's presence, my life is so enriched. In fact, I cannot imagine my life without God. Now, some people just say it, but actually that really is reality in my life. If there would have been no God, I would have lived a miserable life in India. It is because of God's grace that I stand before you. It is because God's invitation, God's call in my life that I stand before you. It is because of God's constant grace and God's constant support in my life that I studied somewhere and all the wonderful things happened to my life. It is because of God. Amen? And so I love God. I love Jesus. I love Holy Spirit. The second one, I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my immediate family, my parents, my brother and sister. And I love them. I'm crazy about them. And the third one is, I'm crazy about the church. I think the church is one of the best things has ever happened to the humanity. And I'm so crazy about the church. And for the rest of this time, you will hear wonderful things about the church. However, before I go on some more, I have to give you a disclaimer. And the disclaimer is that I am not naive to realize that sometimes as a Christian and as a church, we haven't behaved properly. How many of you know that? Sometimes we have brought harm. Sometimes we have become a stumbling block in God's work. And so when I brag about the church for the rest of the time, please don't misunderstand. Don't think that, hey, this guy loves up in the paradise, up in the heaven. He doesn't know what is reality down here on the earth. I know the reality. I have lived the reality, I have experienced the reality being the pastor. I know that. And you know, when time will come, we will talk about the whole sermon series on what are some of the struggles as a church we are facing and how we can overcome. Yes, that's a whole long topic. Literally thousands of books have written on it. There are books I've written, my wife has the book, like how to overcome the abuse of clergy. So I know there are books, there is a material, there are experiences people have gone through. So I'm not naive about this. It's not that I don't know. But considering all that, dear people of God, I believe the church is one of the most wonderful things has happened to the universe and to people around us. And I so strongly believe that more or less, the way we do good more with other people, often it comes to the church. In fact, the reason we actually talked about this book, the reason we read this book in the group, the reason we had a sermon on this book, the reason other small groups are studying this book is because in the church context, that's where we learn, that's where we have this conversation, that how we have to be an outgoing community, that how we have to think about other people, that how we have to worry about the people out there in Africa, even though they immediately doesn't connect to us. Because it is in the church context, dear people of God, that we learn these wonderful things. And so again, I'm so crazy about the church. I think I told you 3 times, you got it by now. Amen? So Dee's going to come and read the scripture for us, please.
The scripture reading this morning, you heard a preview of it with the children's time, is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples went to the hills in Galilee, where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, even though some of them doubted. Jesus drew near and said to them, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Go then to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And I will be with you always to the end of the age."
Amen. So the first point is individual and the church. A person and the church. You see, Bible is a big from the book of Genesis about God's image. When we were created by God, the scripture says, God put God's image into us. God put God's spark into us. And when our spark with God meets with God's spark, there is such a light, there is such an emulation that people can see that light around us. Because it is God's desire, dear people of God, that God wants to know us and God wants to connect with us. And that's why the scripture says that God put God's image on us. And when we recognize that image, when we recognize that image in each other, there is no other way than to respect one another. Amen. Than to give the love and the respect they deserve. Doesn't matter the color, the country, the language, the educational background, nothing else matters. Knowing the fact this person might be poor and might be homeless and might be miserable and all that in so many ways, but knowing the fact that God has put God's image into that person. And when we see that image, when we recognize that fact, dear people of God, there is nothing else can we do than to respect and love and to work for the welfare of that individual. Because as we work for welfare of that individual, we are working for God. Amen? Now, in my opinion, this is such a life-changing message. This is such a drastic message. However, everybody doesn't know about it. There are places in the world, especially the country I come from, that you are somebody if you have an image of God only if you're born in a particular family. If you're born in a particular caste system, then you have an image of God. If you are a particular gender, then you have an image of God. Then you have actually higher chances to connect with God. If you're born in a particular place, in a particular family system, then you cannot even enter into the temple. That you cannot even read the Holy Scripture. That you cannot even go out during the day. Because you are nobody. Because you're born in a particular place. And when you live in that place for so long, for so many generations, you actually start to believe that. You actually start to know that, hey, maybe I'm nobody. Maybe I'm just an animal. Maybe I'm just nobody. And maybe people can treat me as they want, because guess what? I'm nobody. They can manipulate me. They can hurt me. They can abuse me because I'm nobody. But it was the Christian gospel, dear people of God. The church of God that brought good news to me. That I am a child of God. I'm created in the image of God. And yes, I live a poor life. Yes, I live a very difficult life. Yes, maybe nobody considers me. Nobody respects me. But still, I'm the child of God. This is the first time I heard the fact that even if I would be the only person here on the earth, Christ would still come on the earth and eventually would die on the cross for me. Only for one person. Because my Jesus, my God, is interested in saving me. Amen? And this good news, dear people of God, I got it from the church. And that's why I think a big deal about the church. Second one, church and society. Church and society. There was a book written in 1905 by a guy named Max Weber in Germany, and he wrote a book called Spirit of Capitalism and Protestant Ethics. And in that particular book, he argues the fact that how the Protestant theology, and especially Calvinistic theology, has changed the world, and especially the countries, the people, the surrounding, which follows that idea. And the idea is that simple. There is a In Calvinistic idea, there is a three word to live, they call total depravity and all that. But one of the main common idea in that theology is that each one has been called for a particular purpose. In other words, when we come in the world, God has a plan and purpose for us. And God's plan for your life might be very different than God's plan for my life. Maybe God's plan for my life is that I would become a pastor. Maybe but for your life that God wants you to become a carpenter. Or maybe somebody a software engineer or somebody something else. But the knowing the fact that you have a purpose from God, you want to fulfill that purpose. And the idea that in the Western world, that each one has a purpose. And that's why the whole thing called calling, often we hear the word, right? As the young people are going to college and as we talk with them, they say like, well, I haven't found my calling. And what they're basically saying, that I know that I got to do something in the world. I know there is a purpose behind me, but I don't know what it is. I'm still searching for it. I'm looking for it. And the word calling actually is a very theological term. Again, the idea is that we are all called for something. And one profession is not better than the other. The pastor is not better than the software engineer. My calling, dear people of God, that I have to do my best in my calling. Amen? If you're called to be a doctor, you do best to be a best doctor. If you're called to be a nurse, you be the best nurse. If you're called to be an engineer, you be the best engineer. If you're called to be software engineer, you be the best software engineer in the world. And as we do our best in our profession, we bring glory to God, and it is enriches our life. You see, before I became pastor, I tried to do many other things, and you know, I wasn't happy, and most people were around me, they were even more unhappy with me, because I wasn't doing my best. That wasn't my thing. But when I became pastor, as I often said, that I'm 98% satisfied person. Amen? That's pretty high. Because I found my calling. And I am doing what I want to do. And yesterday I was just telling to Eva and Sonia that this is so crazy that I actually get to pay the thing I like to do. That is just so crazy, right? But I found my calling. And many of you have found your calling and you're enjoying your life doing the thing you want to do. And that idea, dear people of God, comes from the idea that God has called each one of us, and that teaching spread in the Western world through the church. And that, you know, it has drastically changed the world, especially if you see the prosperity, if you see a prosperity between a Protestant country, Roman Catholic country, and other countries, you could see like, wow, that is something really going on here. The other idea is the idea of corruption. You see, I come from India, where 99% are theists. They believe in God. 99%. And our neighboring country, Pakistan, almost 100% people would say they believe in God. The tragedy, however, is that in both of these countries, the corruption rate is pretty high. And so here we have to think about like, hey, if you believe in God, if you believe in goodness of God, then how come you're still so corrupt people in so many ways? Why this idea of God not translating into the real day-to-day life? How, and you know, often the poverty and corruption goes hand in hand. And the idea is, dear people of God, that yes, we believe in religion, but then often religion doesn't make a difference in our lives. Yes, there might be our God's pictures everywhere, but that's not going to stop us from taking bribe to somebody else. But again, when it comes to church, often we hear from the pulpit and from the church that our lives should be as equal, not only Sunday, but also on Monday, on Tuesday. And however spiritually you are here on Sunday has to be equally spiritual every day. Amen? And so if you believe that God's presence is in the church, you have to believe that God's presence is equally present in your workplace. God's presence is equally present in the Starbucks. God's presence is equally present everywhere here, wherever we go. And therefore, we live our life in God's presence. And that has to bring some sort of ethical and moral standard whereby which we as a society live. And again, I see the church did a great job in helping people to realize that your Sunday life and your Monday life and your Tuesday life has to go hand in hand. And that's why you see such a drastic difference between corruption in the Western world and other parts of the world. Because it is the church constantly reminding us to live up to our biblical standard every day. Amen? The third one, nation and the church. I strongly believe that wherever the church is prevalent, the nation has drastically changed. You know, I often talk about Korea because that's where I did my 3 master's degree. That's where I wrote my thesis. And so I know a lot about Korea. In fact, I know a little bit more about Korea than even India, because again, that's where I studied. So in 1905, Korea was occupied by Japan. That was the first time they actually took over officially. In the prior, Korea was slowly influenced by Japanese, and Japanese people came and started to take Korean industry slowly. But in 1905, it became real that, okay, from then onward, Japanese were occupying Korea. But very similar time in 1804, the first Presbyterian missionary came from America to Korea. And so Christian presence and the Japanese presence actually came very simultaneously in Korea. And two things happened. As the Christians started to grow, as the churches started to grow, the first thing actually they started to preach in Korea was this: the Japanese hierarchy, Japanese occupation in Korea is not right. Because when we look at the Bible, when we read the story of people of Israel, when we read the story that Egyptian cannot rule Israelites because they are all made in the image of God. You cannot rule image of God. You cannot violate image of God. You can only respect and support the image of God. And as churches started to preach, they started to realize that we cannot live in this occupation. In fact, the first time when there was a Japanese people came and, you know, imprisoned many people, most of them were Korean pastors who preach against Japanese, who preach against, from the scripture, that how God wants us to be free people. And of course, as the time passed, in 1945, they got freedom from Japanese. And eventually the church started to grow and the economy started to grow. And Korea is one of the wealthy places in Asia these days and one of the prosperous economy in the world. Because I believe, dear people of God, that church has a role to play in changing the nation to be a godly nation. Amen? And that's why when we sing this song, America, America, this morning, I'm always so moved and touched. America, is it the most pure and holy nation in the world? No. Do we have flaws? Oh, so many of them. But do I know that America is blessed by God? Absolutely. Because I believe, dear people of God, that wherever God puts God's church, God will influence the nation that the church is placed. And so why are we talking about church so much? Because I so strongly believe that as a church, God has invited us to create these Christ communities everywhere we go. When the Christ community is being flourished, our job is to help them so that more and more good thing can happen. Now think about our own church, that God has used this church to bless so many people. How many people we have helped with this, our citizenship classes, our ESL classes, our Wednesday program with the women, shelter cooking. I mean, we can go on and on. How many of our young people have gone to SSP and have changed the lives of so many people? And these are the only thing I know. There are so many things I even do not know. And if our church can do this, how much more the church at large can do for God's glory? And so, dear people of God, I'm about the church. I'm planting for the church. I'm in supporting of the church. And just few months ago, I was praying that, God, you have placed me into this place. And what is my role in supporting the church around the world? And I was thinking and praying about it. And I was thinking there are some churches in Africa. Maybe we can support, we can sponsor. And as I prayed more about it, God put Jesus Love Korean Church. They meet right here in our premises. And that church is going through, you know, it's a new church, new phase. And they are going through some challenges. And as I was thinking and praying about it, God says, Ranjit, you don't have to go to South Africa. You don't have to go to Africa. You don't have to go any other country. You have a church right here, which you as a church can support. And thank God that our church council said yes to my idea. And from next month onwards, dear people of God, that we are going to give $1,000 every month to this church project. And so as you give to your pledges, as you write your pledges, I want you to consider be a little bit more sacrificial. Go a little bit extra mile in giving so that we can support this church plan, so that people can know that they are loved by God, that they would know that they have image of God, that they would know the fact that they have to live the life not only in Sunday, but they have to live godly life throughout the week. And they will know the fact that if we give ourselves, that God can not only change us, but our society and our community and the universe at large. Because that's God's call. And we can make the difference by becoming a little bit more sacrificial and generous in our giving. Let us close our eyes and pray. Loving God, we thank you so much. You're a wonderful God. You're a gracious God. You're a kind God. Lord, when we think about ourselves, how much we have been blessed to be in this church community. So many of us have expressed to one another that it was the church who stood by me as a family when we were going through some of the worst crises of our life. It was the church It is the people's prayer in the church. It is the counseling. It's this constant reminder of the fact that yes, we are going through this difficult time, but God is there for us. God will walk with us. And Lord, we have been so blessed by the church. And Lord, help us that we would become a little bit more generous and sacrificial in our giving, so that we might able to establish this new church plan which will work among Korean people, as Korean people come from Korea and other parts of the world to work here in Samsung and other places, that they will find this connection. They will know that they are created in the image of God. They will know that they have a calling from you. They will know that they have a potential to change the world by their presence. You can do, God, through us. Help us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.